Scott. Okay, here we go. Let's pray. Thank you. There, thank you for that bell. All right. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for what you're going to do in our lives in advance. You're always working. We hear the word is at work in us. And the Spirit of God fashions it right to our hearts and our lives and our minds, ways that we need to change our thinking and our speaking and our behavior. And so we thank you for that, because we want to be more like Jesus Christ, and we've got a long ways to go. So we thank you for that. Bless our time this morning as we address the reality of the Christian life. And we want to think biblically about trials, and that we want, there's so much in your word that calls us to respond biblically in the midst of the times that you put our lives on display when we're in the oven of adversity. And we thank you for that, because you're sufficient. You're God. You're worthy of our praise amidst of all that's going on in our lives. And you're always working in a way that is right and good and perfect. As we mentioned last week, your will for our lives is perfect. So we thank you for that. Be exalted in our time. Give us attentive minds to love you, to worship you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength this day. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close that back door there. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you. All right. Right to the syllabus. John 16:33. Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have what?" Everybody with me? In the box there, we're reading that verse. "But in the world you will have what?"
Tribulation.
Ah, yeah. Job said, "Man is born for trouble, as sure as sparks fly upward." Yeah. There's so much in the scriptures. There are many people in the scriptures that we read about in trouble. I'm doing the scripture reading this morning, David. You read the Psalms. It seems like that guy is always in trouble. There are whole books in our Bible that are about people in trouble. We think about Job. Wow. And God's sovereign work of bringing trouble in Job's life for a good and glorious purpose. We think about 1 Peter. It's all about people who are in trouble, who are in hard times, who are experiencing persecution. So I asked my wife to do some artwork today. How did she do? Okay. What was it? Better than what?
Nothing.
Okay. This is an oven. And there are three kinds of people in this room today. There are people that are about to go in to the oven of a trial. Then there are people right now, might be you today, that are in it. I would tell you this. I could mention names this morning with reference to our church family, that are people that are experiencing some real trouble, some real adversity, family and various things going on. Oh, goodness, physical things that are taking place. You know, last week, a week before, people wanted to grab hold of Jim Wilson. They loved Jim and served here faithfully for years. And Jim is facing open heart surgery. And so there's some of you about to go in. There's some of you that are in it. And there's some of you that just come out of it. And by the way, we could just then take our... Yeah, you're with me, aren't you? Ooh, that one's dead. Then those that are coming out of our class, not to go into another one, right? That's true of the Christian life, 16:33. But we didn't finish the verse, did we? "These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have..." Everybody say it. "You'll have..."
Courage.
"But take what?"
"Courage.
I have..."
"Overcome the world."
Praise God in Christ. Believer knows there's a good ending to all of it. And God is a good God working good in the midst of what's going on in our lives as believers. James 1, 2, and 3. We hardly need to read this, because we always have a good attitude in adversity. Amen? Count it all what?
Joy.
Now listen to me, my brethren, when you encounter various, the word is just multifaceted, whatever, small, you know, doctor's visit, you know, he says, hey, something doesn't look right, need to come back. Trials, adversity with reference to children, you know. First you're praying for your, if you're my age, first praying for your kids, and now I'm praying for the grandkids, right? But, oh my, sometimes the kid's making wrong choices. There's a little adversity, you know. Might be as small as a neighbor's dog barking all night when you're trying to get some rest. Our neighbor's got three dogs, okay. Maybe little things, you know, physical, spiritual things going on, struggling with all different kinds of circumstances. Knowing the testing of your faith, that's what I want to drive home here. Look at James with me again. Sorry, I got distracted there. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, feeling that you're testing. Did I read that right?
Knowing.
Underline the word knowing. The only way that you rejoice in trial is because of what you know. If you're responding to your trials on the basis of how you feel, you will respond. Listen to me carefully. You will, and there are plenty of professing believers that do this, you will respond just like a pagan. But if you respond on the basis of what you know, what the Word of God says, what the Word of God tells you amidst trial, then you're going to respond differently based upon what you, and what is he telling us here? What you know, that the testing of your faith produces, and that is a key word in the New Testament, hupomeno. It means to stay under the pressure and stay faithful to God. That's the idea. And trials are intended to produce that in our lives, to make us not, you know, we say oftentimes there's two ways to go. One is from our trials we can get bitter, right? We can get bitter, or we choose because we think right, and we choose that we're going to get not bitter, but we're going to get what?
Better.
We're going to get better. But to do so, we have to think right before we respond right in a way that glorifies God. I have a little card that I'll have made for you next week when I got back in terms of just kind of reviewing this stuff and didn't have time to have them make a number of these cards for you. But I want to... What card am I talking about? I'll have one of these for you next week. It's entitled, How God Is at Work in Your Difficulty, in Your Difficult Circumstances. And in this little card, we have the cross, okay? And we have three C words. One C word there, one here, and one there, okay? And underneath here we have Matthew 11:28. Would anybody know that one by heart? That's where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are. Yeah, we have the word call. That's coming through better, isn't it, Matthew? No mockery about my handwriting, thank you. Okay. Over here, we have the word correct. And we have Hebrews 12:6. And when you think about Hebrews 12, whom the Lord loves, he what? He chastens. And here we've got the word conform. And we've got that passage that we love to quote to others. Romans 8, everybody.
28.
Now, why am I taking the time to put that up there? Forgive me for my handwriting. Some say that I was called to be a doctor and how horrible that handwriting is. But here's the point. You talk with people, and they've got all kinds of things going on in their lives, and they say to you, boy, I just don't know. What is God doing? Yeah? What's going on? I just can't figure out. I know you're a believer. Why would God allow this to happen to me, whatever else? And you can have an opportunity to say, well, the Bible has some things to say about what's going on with reference to people's lives. And you can even use this little card when I get one to you. You don't need the card to do this, but it's very helpful to say, well, here, the Bible says some things about people who are in trouble. And one of the things that he says is that sometimes God allows people to be in trouble because it's a way for them to begin to think about God and who he is and what he's doing. There's an old saying that goes, sometimes God puts people on their back because it's the only way to get them looking up. Right? So we can say in love to somebody, you know, I don't know about your relationship with the Lord, but I know this. The Bible teaches that oftentimes God brings adversity into people's lives because he is working to get them to think about him. And the Bible tells us that God will call people to come to Jesus Christ and we can present the gospel. You with me? And it's a great way with lost people to just get into the discussion about the gospel and the hope that we have of Jesus Christ and eternity and forgiveness of our sin. We must be careful that we don't suggest to people, now you get saved and now everything's going to be okay. Right? Things may get worse before they get better. But the issue is, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. So we have the opportunity to say, look at on this side of the cross, that's where people are unsaved, right? And we say, God calls people through the gospel. And he just might be doing that in your life. Now the other side is with reference to believers, okay? Left side is lost, the right side is reference to believers. And you got all this stuff going on in your life. And you say, no, I'm a Christian. And you might ask the question, well, you walking with the Lord? You know, how's it going in Christian life? You plugged into a good church? No, I'm not plugged in anywhere. You know, well, how's your time in a word? I don't spend much time in a word, you know. How's all that? Nothing going on here, but I got all this stuff going on in my life. Well, you know what Hebrews 12 says? Whom the Lord loves, he what? He chastens, he disciplines. Now, we all receive that. If we read Hebrews 12, every true child of God receives this. But we can work through this with somebody who professes to be a believer, because if you're not living for the Lord and you know him as your Savior and you've been genuinely born from above, God loves you too much to let you continue walking the wrong path. Amen. So he's going to deal with you. He's going to deal with you in a way like a loving father deals with a child, loving mother deals with a child who's in rebellion. Then the other thing we could say, somebody says, you know, no, I've never had a better time in my relationship with the Lord. Never had a better time. We can say to them, well, let's just rejoice together that God's putting your life right now up on display. And he's giving you an opportunity to let your light so shine for Jesus Christ, because he is working in all of us to conform us more to the image of Christ. And we know Romans 8:28, as I said, we love to preach that to other people. God causes some things, a little bit better, God causes to work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called, according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's always working in trials in our lives to make us more like Christ. That's a wonderful way to put it all together and have opportunity with people. You see that? Amen? We talk about trials, even to preach to yourself, think about yourself, what's going on. But also, you want one of these cards for next week? Yes. To be able to have that? They're $30 a card, but I'm going to see if we get it reduced for next week. Okay. Do my best to get that to us. Great, great help there to be able. Oh, yeah, on one side we've got salvation, the other side we've got sanctification also. All right, underneath the box. Biblical view of trials is essential to growth. An unbiblical view of trials will result in confusion and bitterness. Trials are divinely designed opportunity for growth in faith and Christ-likeness presented to us in work clothes. Do you get it? In work clothes. They require a right view of God and a right response in order to gain the full benefit of what God is doing. Again, you could just write somewhere next to that, bitter or better, but you're not going to stay the same. You're going to get closer or farther away, but you'll be changed by what's going on one way or the other. A portrayal of the Christian life as ongoing happiness and freedom of conflict is contrary to the scriptures. entire books, as I mentioned, deal with trials. And Hebrews 11 will note the examples of faith, but faith and lives of adversity and suffering go hand in hand. Jesus promised trials, but he also provides grace for endurance. So, a book all about suffering and trials, 1 Peter. Peter said, "Beloved, do not be surprised. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing." As though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing, as James says. Not in the trial, not pretending. We're not pretending. We're not being silly. We're not trying to pretend like everything feels fine when things are going on. But choosing to rejoice in the fact that you know God. You know God. You know he's good. You know he's working. You know he has a good intent in your life. And you choose to trust him, and he is worthy of your praise in all things. Amen? Amen? In all things. So, God's sovereignty in trials. I love that saying. Remember this. There's nothing that comes into my life as his child that is first not sovereignly screened through the hands of a loving father. Not accidents. I realize there are accidents. Do you understand what I'm saying? In terms of trials in my life. There are no accidents in terms of what God's doing. It's all sifted through the hands of a sovereign, loving God. Doesn't that encourage your heart? Amen? Mm-hmm. That's why Joseph could say, what, from Genesis 50:20, "You meant it for evil, but what? God meant it for good." Wow, Joseph, way to go. Don't miss 50:20. And don't miss the other part of that verse, too, when he's revealing the fact that God had a plan for his people, and Joseph was part of that. Okay, Jonah. God's sovereignty in Jonah's life. 1:17, "The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah." What a guy. What an attitude. Amen. There's Romans 8:28. We've already quoted that, haven't we? For believers. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Who knows it? Who can quote it? Who can quote it for me right now, real clearly? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Dave.
NIV?
No, that's not acceptable. Yeah, go ahead. Come on.
"No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. That God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he is faithful and just
provides.
And will provide a way for you to stand up on grit."
Amen. Amen. So, for, you got it. You got it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us God's not out to sink our ship, is he? He's not working against us. He's working for us and for our good. Now, man's response now to these sovereignly designed trials in this next section. This is so good, so helpful. There's a horizontal view of trials, and that's the proud man's response to trials, and we can certainly respond in pride because we have plenty of it. Amen? And so it can be our response to trials can be all directed about self. What's happening to me? And notice the drawing there. There's the trial, and the person sees the trial, but he does not see God in it and God working. So all he sees or she sees is the trouble. And a wrong view of trials will focus upon the trial, but fail to see God at work. Yeah, in the trial. So what does this person, or what do I say when I respond in pride and selfishness in the trial? I say, "This is not fair." Right? Why me? And I want to have you all over for a pity party. Right? Because look at me and how I'm suffering and why. And life is hard. And it's all based upon bad theology and missing the reality of God and his sufficiency for me in the trial and what he's doing in my life. So I say, man, I deserve better. I don't deserve this. I want a problem-free life. You know, when you say you want a problem-free life, you know what you're saying? You're saying you want to die and go to heaven right now, right? Problem-free life. Why all of this? And all you see, all that person, listen, you've done this. I've done this. People do this that say they know the Lord. And they experience some kind of adversity, and they want to announce to everybody in the church, pray for me, pray for me. Because, you know, prayer's good. We want to do that, bear one another's burdens. But it's all about directed to me rather than, man, pray for me that I make God look good in this thing and the way I respond to what's going on. Because I want to learn what he has, and I want him to be glorified in the midst of it. So then we've got the vertical view of trials, and that's the humble response to what God brings. A right response to trials is when I choose to look beyond the trial and focus upon God by dwelling upon his character, who he is, and his promises, what he said, and what he promises me in the midst of this. And in so doing, then I want to respond like Job, who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Now, Job had his questions, and he struggled. But bottom line with Job was, I'm going to trust in him. And he didn't get good counsel from his three friends. His three friends were good friends. I mean, what does it say at the beginning of Job? They sat there for what number of days and just grieved with him over what was going on to him. They were good friends, but they were lousy counselors because they kept going back to the fact, well, Job, you must have done something what? Wrong, see? And that is so typical of Christians who do not have their head on straight. Well, I must be doing something wrong because God is not. Come on. That is so unbiblical in our thinking. You might be doing something right. And God says, now here's the next class. I'm going to get you out of third grade. And I'm going to get you into fourth grade of the Christian life. But it's not going to be easy. It's going to be an opportunity for you to grow in what it means to trust God. So he responds like Job, or even better, like Christ, determines to trust God, remains focused upon God's goodness. So, here we've got it. Proud man, humble man. Proud man resists his trial. Humble man receives it. In fact, we haven't even opened our Bibles yet, have we? Turn with me to the book of Job. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Job's 2. Job 2. You remember the first time you read through the book of Job? Remember that? Wow, it just went, whoa, whoa, my, oh, my. Job chapter 2, verse 10. And his wife did not have the gift of encouragement, did she? Right? Go ahead, Job, give it up, die. Right? Thank you, dear. Thank you. You're such a blessing. Wow. And let me not forget that when people are in trouble and we are aware of it and we do love them and we are praying for them and we want to encourage them with the word of God. Amen. Encourage them with the hope that we have from the word. Why in the world do we read the Psalms every Sunday? Because David shows us how to take refuge in God. Why did I turn here? I don't remember. Chapter 2. Ah, yeah. There she is, verse 9. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity, curse God and die? Verse 10. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips or blame, back in chapter 1, verse 22, didn't blame God. Oh my, wow. So, the proud man, he resists his trial. Humble man receives it. Bitter, better. The proud man, he's got one primary goal above glorifying God, and that is he wants relief at all cost. See? Just get me out of this. That's all I want. Just get me out of this. Okay? Uh-huh. But the humble man remains under, hupomene, or staying under, stays faithful. Doesn't mean that we could pray and say, Lord, help me here, and please, the pain's hurting. You know, doesn't mean we can't pray for relief, by any means. But it can't be relief at any cost as the primary goal of our lives. Why? Because when we pray that way, it's all about who? It's all about me rather than the Lord God. And his focus is on happiness at any choice, in any way. I just want to be happy. Just want to be happy. Humble man says, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. And holiness comes with a cost. Proud man says, why me? And the humble man says, thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you promised, and how you'll help me. And he draws near. He draws near to God. And be careful. You go to the, I don't know if there are Christian bookstores anymore. I think we get everything online now or whatever. We have a book center. But all of the books that are, and I'm going to recommend how-to book, okay? But so many of the how-to books are how to be happy, how to get this, how to get that, how to get God to do this for you, and get him to do that for you. Be careful of that. But this here is a good one. Why do I say that? Because it's biblically based in terms of how to respond to trouble. And, oh, that leads us right to page 18. Check. You there with me? Did we get through the bottom of this? Yes. Here's a helpful way to respond to your trials like Joseph. And in the back of this helpful little booklet, we have them in the book center. It's not, I'm not recommending these. I'm not trying to do a book sale, okay, but give you good helps available. And this is another good one to work with somebody else as well as yourself. Don't give something to somebody that you haven't read yourself, right? But it really helps you to be able to aid somebody else in thinking through biblically what God is doing. And he, at the end of this little book, he brings these responses to what's going on. Just look at this with me. Here's how to think biblically in a trial. Recognize God's in the trouble. Is he? Amen. Okay, God's in this, right? He's in this. What's going on? If he's not in it, he's not sovereign. If he's sovereign, he's in it. He's in all things. Ephesians 1:11, remember that verse? He works all things to the counsel of his own will. So he's in what's going on here. He's directly involved what's going on with me. Now, this is different than I make dumb choices and I experience consequences. And then I call, well, I'm going through a trial. You know, I just stole this money over there at work and God's got me in. Come on. You know, we don't make silly choices and then call that a trial. That's just the consequences. He's reaping and sowing and reaping, right? But the things that are divinely designed, that, you know, all of a sudden, boom, this happens. You know, this is taking place. Or these choices made by people, it impacts you. Recognize God's in the problem. Remember, he's up to something. He's always working. God plans his work, and he works his plan in all things. Believe that he's up to something good. Romans 8:28, if that's true in a believer's life. Discover where and how God is at work. Get involved in what he's doing. Get the what's going to be the benefit of this. And expect good results as a result of it. Now, one of the ways that we can take this up a notch, when we say get involved in what God is doing, we know he's always building trust, is he not? He's always building faithfulness. But you might say, well, I don't know what in terms of what he's doing in my life. Maybe there's certain areas that I need to grow and change and become more like Christ. What? How might he be working? What's characteristic of me? What am I lacking in Christ-likeness? You know, a way that you can take this a step farther is you can go to Galatians 5 and look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit gives us the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are looking at me kind of funny. So let's go to Galatians 5. Maybe it's just me. Galatians 5. All right. Let's just do that. Galatians 5. Galatians, Ephesians. Yeah. This is what we're talking about. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, maybe the Lord's working to grow me as a person who is not as loving as I ought to be with other people. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. Well, we're all supremely joyful people in our trials. Amen. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Am I growing in gentleness under self-control in my life? This is a great way to just examine your own life. I realize the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked, but a way for us to think, okay, what God's doing, how is he working to change me, to become more like his son? And then, for all the married, you say, well, I don't think, you know, I got all of these down. Check. So for the married people, look, y'all look like you want to leave the class right now, okay? Single people, you're off the hook here. But for the married, you ever thought about asking your husband or your wife, where do you think the most work is needed in these two verses? Whoa.
You're afraid of the answer.
You're afraid of the answer. Yes. Yeah. Last time we're doing this as leaders, I think maybe I mentioned this to some of you. My wife's first response was she wasn't going to answer because she thought I was setting her up, that I was going to tell her what she needed to change, right? And then she was very gracious to me and went ahead and lied, and I loved it. Okay, but what are we talking about here? God's always working. He's always working. Always to make us more like Christ. Don't be whining about what he's doing. No, say, Lord, oh, come under him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Say, Lord, help me get it. Help me learn. Help me benefit. Because you know what? If you don't get it, you're going to get the same thing in another package until you understand how God is working in your life. And then it's on to the next thing. Faith builders. Here we go. In the midst of Job's suffering, what did he determine to do? Though he slay me, I'll hope in him. We mentioned that. What did the psalmist state as the benefit of his affliction? That I might what? Oh, boy. You know, the word, a verse is one thing. Psalm 56, I believe it is. When I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, it's one thing to just get that verse, and it was a whole other bag of chips for me to have our son make a fall. He fell down in the wintertime, about a 6-foot drop, flat on his back in the frozen ground, knocked him out cold turkey, and then he, as he began to come to, maybe, did I share this with you before? He got sick. I knew that, oh boy, if he's throwing up then there's probably a concussion, and this is serious, and I'm getting him into the car, and I'm alone with him and heading off to Hendricks. You know what I'm praying now? Lord, when I am afraid, help me to trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I'm screaming that thing on the way to the... And you know what? Now that verse has real meaning, particular meaning in my life. Trials are going to make the word precious to us. And that's a good thing. Amen? Because that's what's sustaining David as a man after God's own heart. From Romans 5, 3, and 4, benefits, perseverance, proven character, hope. I think at the end of this, we quote Wiersbe. Yeah, he says, a faith that is not tested is a faith that can't be trusted. But God's going to build these character qualities in us through faith and trust. What did the life-threatening difficulties that Paul experienced produce in his life? Same, dependence upon God, not self. Remember that? He says that he's saying at the beginning of 2 Corinthians, we had the kiss of death on ourselves, that we would trust in him and not ourselves. Johnny, wow, does she know a little bit about suffering? My. And yet, what joy. What joy. If you don't know who we're talking about, you get on the internet, look up and get her testimony and listen to her. Give her testimony of somebody who's been a quadriplegic since 16 years old. She's my age. So she's up there now. And yet, and cancer and all kinds of other adversity, but loves God with all of her heart. According to James 1:2, attitude, rejoice. What is it that you know your trials produce? Perseverance, patient endurance, perseverance. What is required of those seeking wisdom while experiencing trials? Don't what? Don't doubt. Faith without doubting. trusting God with all of our hearts. Easy to say, isn't it? Fruit indicators, 1 Peter 1, from verse 6, what is the natural human response to trials? Yeah, distress. Oh, boy. When I choose to rejoice and trust God, my response can serve as the proof, as the evidence of my faith. If you should suffer for doing right, whose example are you following? Wow, think about that. Suffering for doing right. Here I am, reaching out to family, love them, want to help them, care for them, trying to help them, and get kicked for it. Oh, life's not fair. Wait a minute. You just moved into a particular unique camp. It's called Christ's camp, who never, ever, ever sinned and suffered continually. So you do what's right. You've got to be a blessing to people, or something happy. You try to respond the right way at work, and you get kicked for it. Don't bellyache. Just thank God for what he's doing. And remember Christ. Remember Christ. What will all who desire to live godly experience? Persecution. Count the cost. People right now in prison, different places, for preaching the gospel. What did Jesus promise to those who suffer ridicule or persecution for the sake of righteousness? Great what?
Reward.
Reward. It is worth it to be faithful, isn't it? He is worthy. But it's worth it. God's going to honor it in his way and his time. So, trusting God in adversity is faith in action. Classic book, another classic book that I could recommend here is just the great classic by Jerry Bridges called Trusting God. Called Trusting God. Every Sunday, people here that are in distress. Let's close with Galatians. We've got time. Good. Let's come back to Galatians for a moment again. I'll leave you alone on the fruit of the Spirit. But let's look at another verse in Galatians. Galatians. So every Sunday, people, things going on. Be willing to pray for them, to encourage them, encourage with the word. Galatians 6:2. Back up in verse 1. This is somebody who's caught in a trespass. This is somebody who's made some choices and is suffering as a result of it. But you're to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. And when you see somebody that's making really bad choices, and you begin to point the finger, okay, and you think, well, boy, I'd never do that. Huh? You who think you stand, take heed lest you fall. And look at Galatians. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3, and if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You see, as we pray for one another, there's going to be a time people are going to be praying for us. They may even be praying for us for repentance. So we bear each other's burdens. Be a burden bearer. And give hope from the scriptures. And don't call me this week and say, I'm in a trial. Okay, I mean, I'm willing to pray for you. But don't call me by surprise and say, I can't believe it. I just got done spending 45 minutes telling you, this is par and parcel for the Christian life. God is still good. He's always working. And we want to choose to trust in him. And when the oven is turned up to 500 degrees, okay, just let it draw you closer to the Lord. Back to the Word. Back into the Word. Claim the promises. And remember, he's not out to overwhelm you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God's not out to sink your ship. His grace is sufficient. He'll see you through it. And one day, you'll be so glad you trusted him. Amen? Amen. You'll be so glad you trusted him. And when it's really, 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 really hurting, just stop and think about the cross. Think about the cross. What was it like? What was the suffering like? And who did he do that for? For you and I, unworthy sinners. Amen? All right, let's pray. Last week, Pastor preached about people in prison for doing right. Early church. Today, we're going to learn more. May we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. May we not think we're better than anybody else or deserve better. We know what we deserve. Let our difficulty and our challenges in this life just cause us to flee to you. Lord, help us, strengthen us. Let me learn more about what it means to make you my refuge. And let us do so with joy in understanding how merciful that you've been in forgiving us of our sin. And then as we're thinking others, maybe right now of what's going on in your own life, maybe we're thinking about others that are really in it right now. Let us not hesitate to love them, come alongside, encourage them, and pray for them. Give them promises from the Word, from the Psalms that will help them be sustained, and that together we might come through this as gold, refined by fire as gold. And we thank you that there'll be a day we won't know what a trial is. We thank you for that. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, not here next Sunday, but the following Sunday back at it. Boy, we are rounding third. Persevere.